Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. ENDA sounds pretty good. It's an acronym for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And as I said, on the face of that, that sounds good. We don't want discrimination in the workplace. Who would? Why did this bill fail by only one vote 17 years ago when it was brought before the U.S. Senate? Why did it pass yesterday by an overwhelming majority? What does it say? What does it have to do with real discrimination? We're going to answer all those questions here in the next 10 minutes of Issues Etc. Ryan Anderson joins us. He's William E. Simon Fellow in Religion and a Free Society for the Heritage Foundation, based in Washington, D.C. He's co-author of the book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. Ryan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy to be on.
This sounds great. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Who could be against it?
Well, every American is against discrimination, but we should also be against this particular piece of legislation because ENDA does not advance that goal. In fact, it moves us in the wrong direction. What ENDA does is that it elevates sexual orientation and gender identity to a protected class, similar to how we treat race. And then it says that this opens up a possibility for lawsuits if an employer takes into account someone's orientation or their gender identity and how that impacts their performance at the job. So while we all are against unjust discrimination, ENDA is much broader than that. It covers much more than that, and it opens people up to frivolous lawsuits. We've been saying here at the Heritage Foundation that ENDA is actually a terrible piece of policy in all but one respect, and that one respect is that it unites center-right groups in their opposition to the bill. Civil libertarians are concerned about its impact for free speech and freedom of religion. Free marketers are concerned about freedom of contract and government interference into the labor market. Social conservatives are concerned about marriage and culture. So this bill has done one thing, is it's united people on the right side of the political spectrum in their opposition to what really is a government overreach into the marketplace imposing government values.
I wonder, 17 years ago, it was narrowly defeated in the Senate. Yesterday, it passed by 61 to 30. What's changed in the Senate, Ryan?
Sure. You know, I think one thing is that people have said that support for ENDA would be a kinder, gentler face for those who favor the traditional definition of marriage. So some people have been arguing that, well, if you favor the historic definition of marriage, the union of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, one thing that you could do is support ENDA as a way of showing that you're not one of these evil, arch-conservative people. I actually think this argument gets it backwards, because what ENDA does is that it actually creates the possibility for government coercion, violating the liberty and the conscience rights of individuals and the businesses they form, the communities they form, and civil society to live out their lives according to their values. And what's so amazing about this is that for the past several years, we've heard from those in favor of redefining marriage that all they wanted was the freedom to live and to love how they want to. What ENDA does is it deprives others of the freedom to live and to run their businesses how they want to. And so it's really interesting that, you know, this is how the conversation has shifted over the years. But I think all of us should be resolute in saying we're against unjust discrimination. But taking into the account behaviors is not the same thing as discriminating. And so I could say a little bit more about some of the things that ENDA would prohibit. For example, let's say you're a principal and you're in charge of the first grade classroom and the teacher who was teaching it was a male, comes back after Christmas vacation as a female. Would you be able to assign that teacher to a different class or to a different school or to somehow shield those children from having to engage in these adult discussions about gender identity? I think most Americans would agree that first graders aren't yet prepared for thinking through what it means when their male teacher comes back as a female. ENDA would make that illegal discrimination. It says that doing something like that is the same thing as being a racist. And I think if you think that there are differences here between gender identity and race, you can see why this law isn't quite as good as its supporters claim.
Well, make that case for us, if you would, that, and because the basic contention here, whether it's stated explicitly or not, is that racial discrimination and making rightful discrimination based upon behavior are essentially the same thing. How do you respond to it?
Well, you can think of it something like this. Martin Luther King Jr. said that he dreamed of a society where we'd be judged by the content of our character, not the color of our skin. And what he was getting at was that race really discloses nothing about someone's behavior. Whether someone's black, white, Asian, Latino, doesn't say anything about how they act or how they behave. Gender identity, for example, is almost exclusively a description for how someone behaves. It describes a male who identifies as a female, someone who will dress and act as a woman at the workplace. It could describe a female who identifies as a male, someone who will dress and act as a male at the workplace. How those actions have an impact on that workplace, how your female employees will feel about sharing a bathroom with a biological male who identifies as a female, how children will react when their male teacher returns as a female, those are all things that are behavior, action, things that reasonable employers might want to take into account. We have no position on how they should take it into account. We just think the federal government shouldn't make it an actionable offense if they do take it into account.
I'm wondering about the long-term effect of something like this, because obviously all legislation is incremental in some sense. All legislation as it's proposed isn't the final proposal. It's usually working toward a goal, especially on social issues like this. What do you view as the long-term legislative consequences of passing ENDA?
Sure. One of the thing, one aspect of ENDA is that it can be used to actually redefine marriage in those states that haven't redefined marriage. We've already seen state ENDA laws used in state courts to say that traditional marriage laws violate non-discrimination statutes based on sexual orientation. And so we could see this used in states that have the correct definition of marriage in their law. When an employer says we're offering marriage benefits to our employees, and then a same-sex couple sues to say, wait, you're not offering me marriage benefits, and so you're discriminating against me based on my sexual orientation, the owner could then say something like, the state law says marriage is the union of a man and a woman. My religious belief tells me that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. I'm interested in offering marriage benefits because I want to incentivize a husband and a wife, a mother and a father, to stay together. That's what I want to do through my business. And the non-discrimination law could say, no, you can't do that because in our eyes, that belief about marriage is tantamount to racism and discrimination. That's part of the end goal of an agenda like ENDA.
One of the concerns raised by the U.S. Council of Catholic Bishops is that the term sexual orientation or gender identification or any of those kind of terms are simply too vague legislatively to make for good law. With about a minute or so, what are your thoughts there?
You know, these things are not narrowly defined. They're highly subjective. They're self-disclosed. They're self-revealed. They're very fluid. And this is one of the reasons why it'll open up employers to lawsuits. They won't even know if someone identifies as gay or lesbian, and that can then be a grounds for a lawsuit when it never even crossed their minds. But also, they're not defined by objective characteristics. Biological sex is very objective. Race is normally much more readily apparent than something like gender identity or orientation because they're wholly self-reported. And that subjectivity to the characteristic opens it to abuse.
So just to put a fine point on that, an employer may or may not know about the sexual preference or orientation or identification of an employee. If they happen to fire them for some other reason, they could be sued for firing that employee based upon something they had no idea was the employee's preference or orientation.
Yep, so you could think about it this way. If you're an employer and you've had a black employee for 6 years, and then you have to let him go because you're downsizing your labor force, it'll be very hard for him to say the real reason that he was fired was just because he's black. If that was the case, if you were a racist employer, you wouldn't have hired him in the first place. You wouldn't have kept him on the payroll for 6 years. You know, he would have to really meet a high threshold of burden of proof to show that it was racism that motivated his contract termination. On the other hand, if you have an employee who's been working for 6 years and then for whatever reason you have to let him go, and you know sometimes employees get upset when they've been let go, he can now claim that the real reason that you let him go was that you perceived him to be gay or lesbian and that you're an anti-gay bigot. And it'll be very hard to defend against such a claim, precisely because of the subjectivity of the grounds of the lawsuit. And you can't point to anything objective about this. This is just one of the instances in which it's open for abuse. We don't know how often it'll happen, but we know the potential is there in a way that it's not in other cases of non-discrimination law.
Ryan Anderson is William E. Simon Fellow in Religion and a Free Society for the Heritage Foundation, based in Washington, D.C., co-author of the book What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. You can find out more about the book What is Marriage? And the Heritage Foundation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ryan, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to be spending that hour with our pastor's roundtable, as we usually do every week. Matthew chapter 9 will be the text where Jesus restores a woman to life who's had a lifelong illness and a little girl to life after she's died. Are those two miracles related? We'll start with that question for our pastor's roundtable right after this.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caca-Beca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.